Welcome to the Knox Soccer Podcast, where we tell the soccer stories of our favorite big town, little city, Knoxville, Tennessee, and around the world. I'm Patrick Teasdale.
And I'm Brian Canever.
On today's episode, we are back to discuss everything One Knoxville SC related. Woo! As we gear up for the 2024 season. Dear listener, I hope you haven't forgot about us. We haven't forgotten about y'all. We took a short break to expand our families. My son was born. Brian's family continues to settle into a party of five. Count them, five. Brian,
dude, why are there not fireworks going off in the background? We're like, we're back again after yep. winter hiatus. The season's mm-hmm. about to start. We've got more children. Like, yep. man, we should have some fireworks noise in the back.
Brian, to gauge how you are doing and how you're feeling, I will ask you this: if you were thrown into a penalty kick shootout right now, how many could you make through right now?
So the last time I actually shot a penalty kick was in one of the One Knox Rec Leagues on Wednesday night. I think it was a semifinal that we had made, went to PKs, and I kicked it straight at the goalie and missed. And that's basically how I felt, you know, the past couple of months. I feel like I'm just like, I'm missing my senses a lot of the times. I'm like missing, you know, my awareness of anything in my general vicinity. Mm-hmm. I'm missing my sleep.
I'm with you. I feel like I'm like the fourth guy to kick, and we're already down, you know? And
it's all the pressure's on. Or you're like number six and you're like, please don't get to me. Please don't get to me. Please don't get to me. Please don't get to me.
Yeah. Exactly. But we're back, which is fantastic. We are so looking forward to the One Knoxville season, as well as just another season of the podcast. Dear listener, thank you for hanging on and being a part of this. We are going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to do short form content. We're going to do long form content. I think you're guaranteed you'll get a soccer related episode from us once a month, and some sprinkle in some other exciting things. We got already one in the hopper of Brian and an excursion he took with his brother. So all that to come, but this episode is the season preview opener of One Knoxville season. So let me kick it over to you, Brian. A season overview. What are the details?
Man, there is so much happening this season. As you covered in our last emergency bonus pod 2 years ago, two months ago, Patty. See, there's my brain going 2 years ago. 2 months ago, Patty, we have an entirely new format to the season because we now have both a league season and then an internal cup competition with just other League One teams. So One Knoxville is in a group with a handful of other teams. All that information is available on the website. But what's important for our home fans to know is that we will get 15 home games. Four of those games will be cup games. Our home opener, once again, just like last season, is on March 23rd at Lexington SC. And what's interesting, Patty, is that we've actually taken their skipper away from them. So
we have.
Charlie Matchell, he is now a One Knox player. He's going to be – I remember that first game last season, like him and Jamesy getting into it a little bit. Yep. And I'm just like –
arch rivals, Lexington. Battle of the Barrel. We took some whiskey off of them, didn't we?
Yeah, we took some whiskey off those boys. so it should be a good one. But the first game is actually going to be an away game this season, right, yep. Patty? That's what's kicking us off.
That's what's kicking off, I think, Charlotte's Independence, March 16th. And I have just confirmed, there will be a watch party happening at Knox Brew Hub with Zach Roskopf and Knox Brew Hub crew. So we're going to be there. I'm going to try to sneak away from my newborn boy and going to go over there and watch the start of the One Knox season. So be sure to come and join us. Put on the old jersey, put on the new jersey, you know, come on out.
So what's going to be really cool this season, Patty, is I spoke with Aaron Gilroy, who former Lady Vol, VFL, from New York, so from up north, my country. I like to call it God's country up there because it's a nice little paradox. But she's the director of game day operations for the club, and she said that they've got a very cool new walkout experience for the players. So now, prior to walkout from the tunnel at midfield, the players are going to walk through the concourse, buy concessions. There's going to be a roped off section. Starting 11 will go through there. It may take a little while to catch on, but they're hoping that, seeing the players, the fans getting an opportunity, to touch them, to be really physically close to them, will help bring that energy that, that we just like love. It's like last year, I know that not everyone loved it when the Scruffs were like shooting off the flares and all that. I loved it. So the more energy, the more noise that we can bring, it's gonna be awesome. So
And sorry, I think that'll foster kind of like what we had with our very first season, where we were kind of all over the place facility wise, and you did kind of have that, the field house is over there, and the guy's got to walk through, and they get to, ruffle the hats of the little kids and stuff like that, to encourage that. I'm really looking forward to this new walkout, and yeah. Couple games in, it's gonna be awesome. And you, sir, Brian Canover, are gonna be a fan yourself, correct?
yes, so I am going to be amongst my people once again. Last season, many of you know I was the PA for the club. It was awesome being up there and getting to watch the team from up high, watching, the entire game day experience happening from early on through to the end, getting to hang out with some of the employees for One Knoxville. But this year, I've got a third kid. My daughter's turning four. We're recording this on Wednesday, February 21st. Tomorrow, my daughter turns four.
Woo!
And
Happy birthday, Alva.
I want Alba to be a soccer player. She already loves Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe. And last year, I didn't get to watch any games with her. I didn't get to watch any games with my family. And so I'm really excited that this year I'll be able to hang out with them back there on the mound and take in some games. And so I'm super pumped about that, Patty.
Yeah, so we'll be down there with the new entrance. The new walkout with the players, the whole Canover crew will be there, and maybe I'll strap baby James to my chest and have him there too, get him in his
Oh
one Knox
yes.
onesie.
So I guess the first One Knox game happened April, early May of 2022. Enzo, my second, was like 3 or 4 months old. And I remember that first game against Asheville City when the big Brummy, Max
McNulty.
McNulty, Max McNulty, towering header, Haley lifted Enzo up to the sky and he was screaming and crying because he didn't know what was going on. Everybody's shouting around him. But it made for a memorable experience and some good photos. But yeah, man, there's exciting stuff. You can get the full schedule, access to tickets, still access season tickets on the club's website. We'll throw a link in our show notes. Patty, I was actually going back in time to 2019 and I read a statement from the former USL president, Jake Edwards, and he said that ahead of the 2026 World Cup, USL One could have seen 40 clubs joining the league.
Wow.
Now, that hasn't happened, not even
Yeah.
close. I
Nope.
guess we still have 2 seasons to make it happen, but it didn't happen this season, though. We know we lost North Carolina FC, the champs. They went back up to the USL Championship, and we got Spokane Velocity. They're the one new expansion side. There were murmurings about Santa Barbara FC joining another West Coast team. Central Valley Fuego is like all the way out there on their own. They're on an
All by
island out there.
themselves.
But Santa Barbara not joining in 2024, but they are still listed as an expansion side along with Brooklyn FC, USL Naples, that's Naples, Florida, and a USL team in Portland. So that's really
Wow.
exciting. We could
Cool.
have, potentially that would make it 16 teams in 2025, 2026, which will be fun. So pumped about that. And I don't know if you had any trouble watching away games on ESPN Plus last season, Patty. Was it a smooth experience for you, or what was it like?
It was mixed. I mean, I did have ESPN Plus, which was great. But I did get it specifically for to watch the games and whatnot. But I just I want I guess I want a better experience. I wanted to hear your commentary more than a guy piped in from a studio and whatnot. So anyways,
Yeah. Well,
what are the streaming options? Give it to us.
so this time you can probably still find like an illegal stream by some dude in like Finland. I don't know. But if you want to go the traditional route, the mainstream route, you can get CBS Sports and Paramount Plus. I'm already a Paramount Plus subscriber because it
Yes.
shows the Argentine Primera División. It's got the Brazilian League. It has the Champions League. It's got the NWSL. So I was already I basically pay for streaming services to watch soccer games. It's absolutely ridiculous. But CBS has signed a contract with USL. I believe it's through 2027. So you should get all of One Knoxville's games through CBS Sports, Paramount Plus, and they have a Golasso newsletter that they oh, that was a weird way to pronounce that. Golasso newsletter that they send out about soccer, and they'll be including USL League One news because, as you know, that's one of the toughest things, getting like media to talk about it because it's a smaller league. It's not a mainstream league. We'll get into the whole MLS debacle in a little bit. So the more mainstream media outlets and dedicated media outlets that are covering League One, the better it's going to be for both the players and the clubs, but also for the fans to be able to follow along with it. So that's super exciting. What else do we got, Patty? I have a bunch of notes here. Man, we've got a kit reveal coming up in a week, February 28th at the SunSphere. Have you bought your tickets yet, Patty?
I have not reserved my tickets. I need to get down that.
Well, it's only $5 if you want to reserve your tickets, and there's going to be a meet and greet with the players. Today, I was actually leaving First Watch in Fountain City, putting some more money in One Knoxville co-owner Nadim Jubran's pocket. And as I was leaving, I saw Angelo Kelly and Sean Lewis getting ready to have a nice breakfast meal, kind of late breakfast. I was surprised. Those, especially Angelo, he's an old man like me. I was like, what are you doing? Get breakfast
It could be second breakfast, you know?
early.
They're like they're
It could have
carbing
been.
up, energying up, you know?
Yeah, well, it could have been. You're very right. But Sean Lewis has incredible hair, and I hear that if you buy those $5 tickets, he might even let you touch some of those beautiful locks. That's the Golden Glove winner. I was a little nervous, Patty, because he wasn't one of the players that we
Yep,
confirmed
I
early
know.
on.
That was the part. I was like
We weren't
that
sure. We
sweating.
weren't sh we weren't sure if he was coming back. But we got him back. So you're gonna be able to meet the players. If you're like me and you like stuff that's cheap or cheaper, and so you buy things that are a year old, like every year after Everton just saves themselves from being relegated by the skin of their
Yep.
teeth, as soon as the game's over, I go to their website and I buy the clearance items. So last year's jerseys, are up on the website for $68. The new jerseys are going to be available soon. I'm sure they're going to be awesome, but I'm still waiting for that like counterfeit, like Central American market to get going where I can buy like a bootleg One Knoxville jersey for like $20 with, and they'll put my name on the
Right,
back,
exactly. Two for one.
So I'm still holding out for that. But we do have that event coming up. We've had some preseason games. Have you been able to follow along with preseason at all, Patty?
No, I haven't. With the newborn, there's been a lot of feeding and a lot of diaper changing. But yeah, the preseason games, let us have it. What has gone
You haven't missed much because they've all
on?
been closed. They've all been closed friendlies, and the one that I think a lot of fans were excited about, it was against Chattanooga FC, which is now playing in MLS Next Gen Pro. So they've switched from NISA over to MLS's Reserve League, and it was a nil-nil draw. I think they played it in either a monsoon, a tsunami, a
Oh
hurricane,
my
something like
gosh.
that, because they at 45 minutes after halftime, they were like, "Let's stop this thing." So it was a
Was it
nil-nil.
like last weekend when it was like the torrential downpour
Yes,
in somewhere?
it was terrible, terrible weather. But I did see on Twitter that Leo Santos got in. I'm a big Leo
Nice.
Santos
Let's go.
sympathizer. I want to see some of the young kid in the team this season. So he got in for a little bit. But yeah, it was called early. It's probably a smart decision for a preseason game. Don't want to risk injuries. But between this recording and potentially when it's going to be published, there's going to be another match against the Chattanooga team. They'll play the Red Wolves on February 24th in a preseason friendly. And then March 9th, they have a game against Louisville City in Kentucky. I don't know that there's any other preseason games that are scheduled before the 16th. There was also a handful of games that either happened or will happen against some college teams, including Young Harris and Carson Newman. Again, I've been in the Scruffs Discord, and there's been a lot of like, can we get to these games? How can we watch this? Is it open door? I don't know what's going on. I'm going to break through the fence. I'm going to climb over the fence at Regal. Scruffies, don't get yourselves arrested. Don't climb over the fence. I think
Love
one of the,
the passion. Love the
yeah.
passion.
I think there is a friendly scheduled for Sansom Sports Complex right there, outside of Fort Sanders, and so that's public. You can show up if you want.
Exactly.
Hey man, but that's cool. Last season, how did you feel about the atmosphere at home last season, Patty? We watched lots and lots of games at home. It was from a very, exciting animated start to the season, coming off the League Two season that was really successful, and then like we couldn't score a goal for the life of us through the middle of the season, had some really tough home losses. How did you feel overall about the atmosphere last year?
I love the atmosphere last year. I mean, yeah, it's a lot more fun when you are winning, but I enjoyed being there. I feel like we're getting established, having the Scruffs and having their section, everyone figuring out their seats, the concessions and the food trucks, and then as continue to do some marketing events. I think it continued to build on itself, and I know the front of house is going to continue to do that, so that this year is going to be bigger and badder. We've already seen kind of some of the marketing material for it, and especially even with the ticket pricings and packaging, I feel like is going to be really, really good.
So, as you said, as you alluded to, Patty, One Knoxville is investing in the match day experience beyond what's happening on the field. So, we've got a couple of special events. You can go to the website and actually see all the special nights that they've got. But some of the ones that we were given early access to on April 12th, we are going to have World Record Foam Finger Night against Union Omaha. Patty, I know you. How many foam fingers do you have in your house right now?
I have zero, so this is definitely going to be my first foam finger. How about you? How many you
Every
got?
time I go to anything Lady Vols related, Alba wants a foam finger or one of those like cheerleading pom-pom things. So I
Oh my
probably have
gosh.
17 or 18 somewhere in my garage. But One Knock's going to try to break the record for most foam fingers waved at once. Every single fan is going to receive a foam finger upon entrance, and the record attempt's going to be made at halftime. I cannot wait to see the photos and the videos of this. So that's April 12th, Union Omaha.
June 29th. But they should have just called it America Night. It's America Night. We have fireworks honoring America, spotlight for veterans, firefighters, police, and first responders. So that's going to definitely be cool.
Oh man, I wish the players could like play in like cut off sleeves with
Oh, that'd be so
yeah, like some Karate Kid
jorts.
bandanas going
Oh my
for
gosh.
one night only for America Night. That one's against Forward Madison, and then July 13th, we've got Christmas in July. That's the very next home game, so you're gonna have like back to back. You're gonna have America Night, and then the next time we're at home, it's Christmas in July. Santa, the real Santa. I don't. You haven't run into this yet, Patty, because James is still little. But I'm sorry if I'm going to ruin this for any young kids or even adults that are listening to this episode. But we are the family. We are the Killjoy family. It's like we don't do Santa Claus. We're not about Santa
Oh my
Claus. Like,
goodness.
Daddy worked too hard, getting this podcast money
Oh
to buy his kids some toys. So I'm not giving credit to some fat man from the North Pole. But my daughter Alba actually argued with me during Christmas, and she was like, "Dad, Santa is real." And we were like, "Baby, no, he's just a fun, he's a fun part of Christmas." And
my
like people may may celebrate him at other houses, but not at our house. And she's like, no, I talked to my friends. They are more trustworthy sources than you. They are also 3 years old, and they have told me that he is real, and I believe them over you.
Oh my gosh.
So
bravo. Bravo.
That's probably gonna be Alba's favorite night, because she's gonna be like looking at me like, told
Look,
you, dude.
There he is. Santa.
And he comes twice a year, so I hope you've got your presents ready. July 13th. August 23rd, Vol Night against the Spokane Velocity. So it's all UT, all orange. I'm pumped about it. Dude, I never thought I would care as much about orange as I do. Patty, you're from Tennessee. I'm from New Jersey. I'm from a pro sports town. And then I moved down here, and I was just like, oh, man, like, this is kind of weird that everybody wears orange on Fridays and everybody supports like 18 and 19 year old players. But now, after a decade here, I've absolutely embraced it.
Go Vols.
Dude, I love being at any airport in the country. Even the other day, a friend of mine was walking through New York City, saw a Tennessee flag hanging, and sent me a picture just because he associates it with me now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so cool to see.
It's so great to see. You see the power tee. You see a volunteer orange. And it's just to let out the go Vols. And then you see it register in their brain, and they turn around. They're like, go Vols!
Heck yeah, dude. Heck yeah. And then, okay, so the final special night that we've got listed here that I know we're both very excited for. I already asked permission to make sure that I could be here for this day from like the very beginning to the very end. I've already hired a babysitter for it. It's September 7th. It's Beer Fest. It's still pending approval. It's not official yet, but if you guys want to show up at the One Knoxville offices and beat down their door and make sure this happens, they're hoping to have a beer fest. There's going to be, you know, like beer trucks, beer stands all over the place. Hopefully we're in the playoff hunt still at that point.
Absolutely.
In the season.
It's happening.
And
yes, sir.
It's all good vibes.
With these new signings I'm about to rattle off, we are going to be in the playoff hunt.
It's all good vibes there. So that's awesome. And I think the goal, Patty, is so capacity at Regal Soccer Stadium is 3,000 people. Last year we averaged 2,034 fans a game, so a little over 2,000 fans. Our best figure was 2,500 fans. That put us at 8 of 12 teams for attendance. So, you know, we didn't make the playoffs of attendance either. Of course, there were some, you know, Richmond Kickers was a team that self-relegated from USL Championship. North Carolina FC self-relegated from the USL Championship. So, those aren't numbers to, like, you know, be unimpressed by. It's still huge numbers. But to see us like consistently closer to that 3,000 mark would be so amazing. One last thing I wanted to touch on, Patty, before you get us into the roster spots, is this US Open Cup debacle. Have you been following what's been going on?
So
over
after
the
emergency
weeks?
Pod, I kind of went into hibernation and what a soccer hibernation. But I have heard the rumblings. There's news. There's scandal. No, scandal's too much.
So it's not like whether you had gone radio silent or moved into an igloo in Alaska and reemerged like a couple of weeks later, it's not any clearer today. There's news that's like coming out all the time. Jeff Carlisle at ESPN has been doing an awesome job of updating everybody on what's going on. But essentially, MLS didn't want to play in the U.S. Open Cup. They wanted to send their reserve sides instead. There was a lot of, you know, argumentation about how they were devaluing the essence of the competition, oldest cup competition in North America, the equivalent of the FA Cup. You know, we've seen miracle runs before by, you know, championship and League One sides. Union Omaha had made a run in the cup. And, you know, on the one hand, I'm like, okay, well, if they send their next gen pro sides or reserve sides, likely we see somebody from USL in the final or lifting a trophy.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, we haven't seen that in a really long time. I think the Rochester Rhinos were the last USL or non-MLS team to win, and that was in the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, everyone was upset about it. There was some backtracking. Then MLS Don Garber was like, okay, we might have the teams that aren't playing in the CONCACAF Champions League and don't have other commitments compete. So, you know, potentially 8 MLS teams are going to compete in it. There's some USL teams that were, or the league itself was threatening to pull out. Well, One Knoxville's made the decision that they're going to compete in the US Open Cup, regardless of who it is. Whether it's, if it's just, if it's just One Knoxville against, you know, whatever three teams are still in NISA and a bunch of teams from like
yep.
the amateur New York City Italian Stallions League or whatever. They're still
right.
competing. One Knoxville's still going to be there. They still believe in the cup. I don't know how you feel about this, Patty, but like to me, the more opportunities to like win gold, mm-hmm. win silverware, lift yep. something, the better. Like the fact there's going to be an internal cup competition, the fact that we've got to have the U.S. Open Cup, like to me, that's, I know it's hard on the players. I know it's hard on the legs, but it's beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like it's a no-brainer. We can say that as fans. But yes, the logistics of it and all that to get there and to play. But it is for silverware. It's to say you're a champion, to, you know, and that's what I feel like, that's what every guy stepping out on the pitch is for. I'm proud One Knox is stepping up and saying, hey, we believe in the U.S. Open Cup, and we're going to be there.
Yeah, my only request, because I think that there are a lot of MLS elitists out there. I don't have an MLS package. I only watched the MLS last season because of Messi. They're not in my, you know, they're not my club. Like, there's no MLS club for us. I believe I'm a localista. I believe in like your local club is a club that you support. I don't live in Nashville. Nashville's not my club. But MLS, you know, it really has followed the model of the NFL, their franchises, their corporate. That's why we're never going to see pro rel, you know, in the MLS world. And we'll hear a little bit about it in a little bonus episode to come soon. But I was at an Inter Miami game recently, and man, it was insane. Like listening to, it was against a South American team, team from Argentina, rival team to my favorite club. And, you know, they're like singing. The Argentinians are singing nonstop. It's beautiful. The Inter Miami fans, Inter Miami, you know, most of them are South American, Latin American. They sing in Spanish. And the entire time there's like loud, crummy reggaeton music being blasted over top of all this. There's advertisements for like State Farm and Hardee's and all this stuff going. And it's just like, this is why MLS doesn't care about the U.S. Open Cup. It's because they're corporate. They care about making money. They are not interested in the community. They are not interested in the fans. That's a byproduct of them existing. And, you know, One Knoxville has placed a huge emphasis on community. We have an entire nonprofit side, youth side. My kids play for the Monsters. They, you know, they play in their little, my daughter says, she's like, oh, I'm a One Knox player, you know, like,
nice.
We've got that. And so if I could just ask one thing, and that's to not play any damn music, like over the fans, over the goals, during the corner kicks, just kill the music, man. Like eventually fans will figure it out, and they know that we are supposed to sing and dance and be loud and be rowdy. Look to South America, look to Germany and Europe. Don't be plastic like MLS. And so I just needed to get that rain out there. I'm still like so frustrated about what I experienced there. And I'm just like, of course MLS doesn't care about people, because all MLS cares about is money. So I'm done, Patty. Can we talk about signings now?
All right,
please?
Let's do this.
Let's talk about some players.
All right. One Knox has been busy in the offseason, bringing in 8 new stalwart starters to add to the ranks of Boys in Blue. Here they are. So Innocent Nuti. I don't know. Maybe that's his last name.
I think it's I have a friend whose name David Ndaya. I think Americans can't say the N. I think it's Nshuti.
Nshuti.
We'll confirm with him. Great. But I think it's like we're not going to pronounce it correctly.
Yep.
We're not.
So I'm going to go first name here. So Innocence, which I just love. He's a striker from Rwanda, played in Rwanda's top tier and for their national team, scoring in their latest World Cup qualifier, which I looked it up. You know, it's a small country. It's a small team. They haven't done well with their World Cup qualifiers. And this one, they won out, and he was one of the goal scorers there. So way to go, Innocent. So excited to have him as a veteran player. And from the gaffer, he says, scorer of all different types of goals, which is great because we need those, the goals. So we have Kempis striker. He's from Germany. 20 goals in 36 games from his Luxembourg side, and another scorer of all types of goals. And he has a sweet left peg, so that'll be fun to see there.
So I just want to say one thing about Kempis. And so the man who won the Golden Boot when Argentina won the 1978 World Cup, former player for my club, Rosario Central, Mario Kempes. Many people will know him if you watch ESPN Deportes. He's been on the Spanish language broadcast. So, like, you know, Kempes is the guy who brought Argentina its first World Cup, just like Messi's the guy who brought Argentina its last. This guy has to be named after Mario Kempes because he's German of Polish descent. And my best friend in the world, Jeremy, is Polish, and I verified with him, Kempes is not a Polish name. And so I'm like, I wonder if this is like a prophetic thing where his dad was like, I'm going to name you after one of the greatest goal scorers in the world. And now he is a great goal scorer himself, and he's making the trip from Luxembourg here to Knoxville.
So you're saying, Brian, you already have your first question for him when you get down onto the pitch and to interview him.
100%, Patty. And the good news here is, you know, our listeners are informed, adept. They know what's going on in the One Knoxville world. But so we don't need to remind you, but I will remind you, because I'm a redundant person, that we lost several players. We'll get into this in a second, but you know, we lost two forwards. Jake Keegan went on loan to Northern Colorado Hailstorm. He was our leading goal scorer. He only scored like five goals, but he was still our leading goal scorer. And we also lost Matty Vowinkel. Didn't score any goals, but you know, those are two players up top. We lost them, and we've brought in these two strikers, proven pedigree internationally. Doesn't guarantee that they will adapt to USL League One, but both of them have some YouTube highlight compilations of their goals, and they're pretty gnarly.
Love it.
I'm pumped.
I'm pumped for them too, just reading about them and getting pumped about them. I'm going to jump down to DJ Benton. He's a fullback coming from North Carolina FC. And so he's seen the USL One finals twice, perfect product on both ends of the field. And we got to remember, North Carolina FC went up to the USL Championship. So I'm speculating that this was a good grab from a USL One or a USL Championship team that's retooling, wanting to get him off the books, you know, to bring in somebody else. And, you know, one man's loss is another one's gain. So it's definitely one Knox's gain. And then 100%. Jumping into Kingsford, Adieu, coming from Tormenta FC. So we're kind of picking off people from our rivals here, starting 26 game, contributing six goals, which remember, like you said, Keegan scored six goals last year. So if Kingsford can just turn it up a touch for us, that'd be great. We got a floor, and I hope he can just go from there. Former Mark McKeever guy, which, to be honest, I'm kind of over. Like, I don't care.
Yeah,
they keep saying, oh, he's a Mark McKeever guy. But I will say my caveat, Mark McKeever has been around the USL lower leagues for a while. And so I know he's an established figure there, but I don't need to hear it anymore.
Yes, I'm with you, especially when, you know, not to disparage our gaffer, but when we've just had a fairly poor first season in League One, and we had tremendous fallout with a former Mark McKeever player, Sebastian Andreasen, fan favorite. We know the debacle that happened with him last season. And so the value is that there's going to be some familiarity with the coach, with the culture, with the expectations. We're not got to get into it, but we know there was some stuff happening outside of the club. There was news reports from WBIR of an investigation into McKeever and his coaching style. That was resolved. The club has stuck by McKeever. But having these players who are familiar with him, one of the positives is, you know, they know what they're going to get.
Yep.
They're choosing this. But then on the other side, Patty, just as you're kind of alluding to, it's like, what does that benefit the quality of the product that we're going to experience on the field if last year the product wasn't that wonderful to watch? We were a great, great defensive side, right? But in terms of attack, we really struggled. So,
but Kingsford is a winger attacker, which Mark McKeever does love. And I will give it to him. He was an MLS draft pick in 2022. Going to NYC. So that's a good one there. So moving up to Charlie McKell, former captain of Lexington SC, the arch rivals. And he's also played around the world. And it sounds like he has great deliveries. So looking, I'm looking at Charlie as our new set piece guy. And so I would love to see kind of some masterpiece theater in the 865.
So I see this kind of as a like for like replacement with Jimmy Villalobos, the center back who we also lost. So I don't know, the underpinnings of all this, how this all works mechanically, but Keegan and Villalobos, they both left us on loan. So they're still one Knoxville players on paper, but Keegan's at Northern Colorado and Villalobos is at Forward Madison. And so Mitchell's going to come in into that center midfield role. I don't know what it's going to look like this year. Angelo Kelly, you expect him to play every single game. Yassine Van der Ploem, he can go between the back line and a holding midfield position. I expect if you're going to bring in the skipper from Lexington, guy with a lot of experience, played professionally
Right,
in
he's going
Europe,
to be on. Yeah.
he's got to be on the field, right? He's got to be a starter, or at least somebody that is coming in every single game. So I think another big signing there.
Coming into Richie Ballard, another attacker and winger here. I looked that up. Attacker versus winger. Brian, can you put some more zhuzh to that? I feel like they're synonymous.
So, I mean, it all depends on the style of play. So I give the example of like a winger, a true winger is Angel Di Maria, who plays for Benfica currently, played for Argentina. He is a player who will defend, but is not a defensive player. He really like hangs out on the line, is trying to, drive into the box. So they're sending in crosses, they're driving into the box. So these are, usually your extremely pacey, high-skilled guys. A lot of players now are wide players, like a wide a left-sided midfielder, a wide midfielder versus a winger. Wide midfielder is probably going to be more defensive. They might not cover as much ground. They may not be as good on the dribble. Of course, then we know you have like the wing back. There are wingers who can play at wing back positions, though, like as you saw in the World Cup final when you had Dembélé guarding Di Maria and committing that penalty to start the game. Like they're not defensive players. So it all depends on players have their own characteristics, Patty, but it all depends on how they're set up to play and what instructions are given. One of the challenges last year, I think, was that we brought in players like, Rodolfo Castro who's a striker, and then Gio Calixto, who's also a striker but plays out wide. And we brought in players who have a certain way of playing and then have to adapt to the expectations and the system that the coach creates. And sometimes those things don't mesh together well. I thought like Seba Andreasen is a great example, of a player who, to me, Seba Andreasen never leaves the 18. If I have a 6'4" number nine, he should never cross midfield. Now, in modern soccer, everybody's defending. Your center forwards, running all the way back to help the goalkeeper out, makes no sense to me. Keep that man above the midfield line. They're there to head the ball in, to be powerful, to bully defenders. So all that to say, there's players' characteristics. There's also the system. I don't know what it'll look like, but Ballard is listed as a winger. I don't know where wingers fit into the McKeever system, if wingbacks are still going to be part of the equation. Because usually your wingbacks are overlapping. You've got a diamond midfield. Who knows what it'll look like.
Gotcha.
But
But we do know Ballard is a USL champion veteran from several sides, even Miami FC before they went up. And he's great one-on-one, which is awesome to hear. And from his press release, McKeever is saying he's going to be a few future scruff favorites, which is great. And one of the most exciting signings ever. A lot to live up to there, Ballard. And I'm sure with all of these guys, we got two more to go. All these guys, the scruffs are going to give them some nice anthems to sing to. Next one is Stuart Ritchie, defender, up and down defender with European and MLS Next Pro experience. And then Silva Italu, defender, another Des Moines Menace alum, but he was drafted to the Timbers in 2022. So rounding out our defenders there. So Brian, the big question is, are these the positions we needed to cover? Like, was this a good haul?
So I was doing this earlier in the day. I was looking at who we lost, and I've already referenced two of those. You know, we lost two center forwards, and we lost a center back in Gabriel Claudio. Didn't play much last season. When he did play, wasn't really a standout in the back. I think defensively, we were really covered in the center with Jalen Chrysler, with Jordan Skelton, with Danny Fernandez, with Yessing Van Der Ploem, all being able to play back there. Then Sivert Haugli, the another large center back, played in the Menace side along with Kingsford Adjei, that McKeever led to the USL2 championship. I also want to, remember that, and the value of guys that have won with McKeever is they understand the importance of winning. They have felt what it's like to win, and when you win, it feels really, really bad to lose. Just to get that out of the way, we lost a center back in Claudio, got a better center back in, a center back who knows Mark McKeever and who has won with McKeever before. We lost two wing backs in Jan-Erik Lijnhols and Kyle McDowell. We brought in Benton, who can play as a wing back, and Stuart Ritchie, who also plays as a defender. He's listed as a left back, but I'm assuming he can play in those wide back positions for McKeever. We haven't mentioned this yet, but you may have caught on to it just because we talked about John Lewis. We only have one goalkeeper right now, Patty. We lost Peter Swinkletoes, Twinkle Toes Swinkles, and we haven't replaced him. I'm sure that there will be a backup goalie before the start of the season. If not, shoot, I don't know who we're going to see putting on the goalie gloves. I don't know if Danny Fernandez is going to get it out there. I certainly don't think. I don't think it'll be Jamesy Thomas, even though I have read reports of Wayne Rooney's about 5'5", and he used to save penalty kicks in England practices. So who knows? We only got one goalie. So we lost in center midfield. We lost Sam Fletcher and Jimmy Villalobos. Fletcher didn't play much, even though I loved him. I called him, him and Seth Antwi that first season, they were like the two Bulldogs. They were like the two sides of the Oreo Bulldogs. You had Seth Antwi, Sam Fletcher, the white Bulldog. He was great to watch. Didn't play much. Villalobos played a ton. So we have some center midfielders coming in to replace them. And then arguably we have forwards that are coming in with at least more goal scoring potential and productivity than Matty Vohwinkel, who was a first time pro. So I think that we've seen some upgrades. I'm assuming that we've got some like big investments, or there has been some splashing of the cash on players who have won before. They've won league titles before. They've been pros for many years. And they've got even Stuart Ritchie, who's an American, right? Like, he has European pedigree. He was in a Dutch academy. He played in Germany. So even though he came from Columbus Crew too, he was one of these young American guys who went overseas really quickly. He's only 22 years old. So I think there was a lot of investment in the squad. I think these are high profile players. Can they deliver? We shall see. That's the thing that's so hard to talk about at this point, Patty. It's like you can get excited about players, right? But regardless of whether the players come or go, One Knoxville is still here, and that's the thing that we care about most. We care about the club most, and so the expectation is the players will deliver, will be good, they'll be fun to watch. But I'm not putting all my hope or all my eggs in that basket, because if Matchell comes, gets into a fist fight with Jamesy Thomas, over who has the better English accent or something, and then we lose them, I'm not going to be heartbroken about it, because it's just another player in and out. So we'll see, dude. But just in terms of preseason stuff, we don't got a lot to cling to in the preseason. So just seeing those names and then seeing the excitement of the scruffs in the Discord, people chatting on Twitter and on social media, has me pumped.
Now, dear listener, if you or maybe somebody you know or may like related to and was able to sneak into any of these matches and like have a undercover video feed of them and whatnot, please send it our way. We will keep you anonymous, but we just want to get an eye for the team and see how they're shaping up. But I guess that's it. That is the One Knock season opener preview. That's all we have for you. I hope that wets the whistle for the One Knox pandemonium that's about to happen. If you enjoyed this show as well as the rest of the podcast, be sure to sign up for our newsletter over at theknoxsoccerpodcast.com. Grab your partner's phone, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your mom, your dad, your uncle. Sign them up for it as well. Love to spread the Knox Soccer Podcast love. And One Knox season starts on away match, March 16th. The club is promoting a big, big turnout for the first home opener, but it does start the weekend prior to that. So be sure to tune in. Come and join us at the watch party happening at the Knox Brew Hub. And they're still in the works of getting a school bus to go from downtown Knoxville to the match on home matches. So that's going to be really cool. Be sure to grab your tickets for those home matches over at oneknoxsc.com. We'll put all the stuff in the show notes. You know the deal. And with that, we'll see you in the stands.
Heck yeah. I cannot wait to get started, Patty. Let's do this. We are so close to it starting.
Let's go.
Get us to March 23rd.
Yep, let's do it.
Knox Soccer There's Podcast crew. There's only one Knox. Knox Soccer Podcast crew out.
Huge thanks to Markman Jewelers and Union Place Bar and Grill for sponsoring the Knox Soccer Podcast.